Hello and welcome to another episode of Dungeons and Pop, listeners. This week is going to be another kind of odd one for us, at least. Sean is really kind of sick. The heat in Arizona has not helped him. He is feeling a little burnt out from work, and considering he's one of three CSRs for the entire nation for his company, I can understand why. There is also the fact that he cracked a tooth and will be having that removed on Thursday, so come by Cast Junkie, come by the Dungeons & Pop fan server, give him his well wishes if you can. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. This week, we are joining the Chaos Crew, or Chaos Coffee Crew, on another adventure from their fiendishly hellish friend. What kind of shenanigans will they get into this time? But before that, we have a promo this week from Memesters of the Week. I heard it myself before I put it in here, so I think it's an interesting listen. I'm going to have to poke at some episodes. I suggest you do the same. You have a good whenever you're listening to this, and I'll see you after the promo for the episode. Goodbye.
This is Memester of the Week. We're a Monster of the Week actual play podcast. It goes like this. A reluctant cult member, his stoner roommate, a skeptic YouTuber, and her fake camera person walk into a diner. They then walk out of the diner and drive off to hunt the things that go bump in the night. Inspired by shows like Supernatural, The Adventure Zone, and The Crit Show, join four friends as they travel across the country solving supernatural problems and trying not to cause more problems than they solve. If you've ever wondered what it would be like if Scooby-Doo had guns and magic and monsters rather than real estate moguls, this might be for you. Welcome to Memester of the Week.
So,
this is Fictional Heroism. I am the Keeper, Master of Dread, whatever titles you want to give me. I am here to run the story. It's like, these are my players. Everyone, introduce yourself.
Hello, listeners. It's Eric, and I am once again playing the ex-circus rogue, Alistair Renard. And I've been looking forward to play this lovely, magical little asshole since the last time.
We seriously love him. Next in the list.
I'm Tiffany. I play Vivian, the expert, and I'm pretty excited to have another go with her.
We love her just as much as we love Alistair. And now for Peaches.
I am Pinkichu, or Vanessa, and I will be playing Peaches, who is the searcher, and life is a rom-com.
She's looking for love in the entirely wrong universe. And now, last but not least, Wesley.
Welcome, listeners. I'm Too Toasted on Twitter, aka Wesley Booker the Spooky. I have a ghost on my back, and it won't let go.
God, I'm just...
not nearly as kinky as it sounds.
I literally just found a song on Spotify that's literally just... that is about ghosts, about ghosts in that kind of way, and it's kind of... sort of sad and depressing. But also kind of amusing. But that is completely irrelevant to our story. So, Wesley, you have a role to make.
Oh, yes. I get to have a talk of my ghost. Or a premonition. Oh, nice! It's a good roll. It's an 11.
So you get a clear picture of this, don't you?
I get a clear picture, and I take one forward to try to prevent it, and I get experience if I manage to stop it.
You see sunlight shining down through deep waters. You feel thrashing and movement. And then as you look down in these dark, unknown depths, you see a young boy struggling against chains with ancient writings and other things. You see those chains start to shift. as a terrible power awakens.
Damn it, lizard. Damn you. Damn you to heck.
You then manage to rise from the water, and you see a pond growing into a lake, and then rapidly consuming the town around you in a giant sinkhole. You see thousands drowning in the waters below.
Okay, now I'm confused.
That's good, because then you won't be able to ruin the mystery by knowing what it is beforehand like I did.
That was just because I told you, and also because I told everyone, technically, because if you've already listened to, like, my Monster Mask stuff, you would have already known what I tried to record last time. But yeah, so, of course, we start with everyone waking up for some reason or another. Just something about the night or the rain. Just not sitting. So, you all wake up. It is midnight. How's everyone's living situation right now in this wonderful late summer day?
Well, Alistair is camping, but yet because he has that magical tent, it's really not all that bad. He's got his comfortable bed, his comfortable, you know, blankets and everything. So he's probably more annoyed at the fact that he can't get rest. That something's making him restless. It's making him probably, you know, the hairs on the back of his neck stand up. Nights like this bothered him because something was always at the edge, just kind of like waiting to screw with him.
There's nothing in your tent but dark and the sound of the rain. How does Alistair usually try and get back to bed when awakened in the middle of the night like this?
That's a good question. He probably would try a glass of warm milk and a cookie.
All right. So you're just slinking over to your amenities, however you warm milk in your tent. Who next would like to explain their character's living situation?
I'll go. So I've always pictured Vivian kind of living above the coffee shop in like a little apartment. So I imagine that she's probably had dozed off while reading. So, like, glasses are still on her face and kind of just slipping down a little bit. Like, the book's just kind of open in front of her. Don't know if she maybe had, like, a bad dream from the book or what necessarily, but I would imagine that she would kind of wake up and actually start her nightly routine. Taking her glasses off, like going, washing her face and stuff, and trying to get back to bed and going back to sleep, or attempting to at the very least.
All right. Peaches. What has Peaches found to bring herself?
Well, Peaches definitely lives in a, like, very modest little studio apartment with just a lot of, like, pictures of flowers and stuff like that. Just like a very homey and small living situation. And I think when she wakes up suddenly, she kind of like stretches and yawns and gets up to make herself a cup of tea before going back to bed.
All right. And now, Wesley, you of course wake up with a start.
Wesley looks around from the floor, having tangled himself in the blanket while he thrashes. He probably lives in a small studio apartment with random junk around and other stuff he salvaged. And he looks to the TV which is on, and he just rubs his face and sighs to himself as he walks over and turns it off. As a man in a ski mask stabs someone on screen, and he looks to it and rubs his face again before saying to himself, "All right. No more Monday the 9th back-to-back marathons." Before he ends up walking back towards his bed.
And of course, you've all played this song and dance before. Something strange happens to each of you. For Alistair, you suddenly feel your tent shift in some way. Vivian, you hear a... just a repetitive banging You know how when you live somewhere, you can sort of feel where sounds are? Yeah. It's coming from the coffee shop below. And our Peaches? Peaches, you were just trying to... What were... God, I forgot what Peaches was doing.
Cup of tea.
Cup of tea. You turn on the water, and then the water suddenly doesn't turn off.
Oh, I'm not getting my security deposit back.
No, like, like if, yes, and it's starting to rise. Yeah, and it's, yeah, of course. And of course, Wesley, as you go to turn off the TV, it's like you start to hear that familiar carnival music coming from somewhere in this room.
Oh, good.
What does everyone do?
Wesley immediately grabs his shotgun.
Alistair goes back to bed.
As you're going into bed, your tent starts to fold in on itself. And you start to see...
No. 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 I did not have a good night's sleep. Do not do this. That I should say that is in character.
Yeah, you then start to see mud start to flood in. Peaches, are you just... and Vivian, what are you doing about this banging that you hear coming from downstairs?
I'd imagine at this point, Vivian probably, like after what happened last time and not having her equipment on her, I'd imagine that she keeps it close to the bed so I can see her grabbing her little sword and just heading towards the noise, going towards the coffee shop with her phone in the other hand.
Do you turn on the lights at the coffee shop at all? Like when you get down there?
I'd imagine she would.
Yeah, you just see a mug on one of the counters banging up and down, repeated in a very mechanical motion. Just in the air, down again, in the air, down again, bang, bang, bang.
She doesn't.
What's everyone's reaction?
Anybody?
What is everyone going to do about their particular brand of hell?
So, does she see anybody, like, moving it, or is it just the cup by itself?
Nope.
Okay.
Yep, just the cup by itself.
I'd imagine she would close the door, lock it, go back upstairs, and probably text the group chat of the coffee crew and say, hey, possible ghost? Question mark?
Yeah, as you're heading upstairs, the door of your coffee shop or whatever you closed, you can hear it crack behind you.
Oh, lovely.
And you hear... Just now, it seems like there are two sort of like step-like bangs coming after you. Alistair, the mud is rising. What's Alistair doing?
He's going to go to his tent flaps and open them. My dear friend, if you could cut the theatrics just once, I would appreciate it.
Oh, Alistair, you know I can't. And you're in the circus.
Can, but won't, dear friend. Also, I'm sending you my cleaning bill.
This leaves the rest of them. So, Vivian, you're currently being pursued.
Lovely.
And, Peaches, the water's continuing to rise. And in fact, it's starting to come out of the cupboards now.
I think before it started coming out of the cupboard, she, like, grabbed her phone and tried to call, like, her building's maintenance, like, emergency maintenance number.
Oh, you call that number and you just hear pig squeals on the other end.
Oh, God.
Well, she jumps and drops the phone.
Yeah. There's a banging at your door now. The water's about up to your ankles now. And, Wesley, what did I throw at you again? Yes, you got...
There was a noise from the circus in the room, then I grabbed my shotgun and then I cocked it.
Okay. Are you going to try and identify what those noises are? Where it's coming from?
Wesley has kind of an idea of what it is, but, you know, he does knows it's not going to make him feel... It's not going to do anything, but... It's less that he thinks it's going to do anything and more just to feel and make him feel better. He has a feeling that this is going to be the circus ringmaster and, you know, he just wants to shoot him. He knows it's not probably going to do anything, but this is kind of like a...
Catharsis.
Catharsis, yeah. He's really looking around waiting for him to pop up, keeping his gun at the ready.
Your bed starts to shift.
He shoots the bed.
There is a splatter of blood and a squealing of pigs.
He cocks it in and he's like, no.
A pig emerges from under your bed.
Another he shoots the pig.
Okay, now two more. They start feasting on the one you just shot. They're... Pigs continue to fill your apartment.
He's going to just run for the door and kick it down.
Yeah, you emerge out into the circus. There are pigs coming out behind you.
Do I still have
and a also gun? See an annoyed Alistair.
Yep.
Okay, here's my question. Do I see the ringmaster?
No, you just see an annoyed Alistair looking back at you.
You just see Wesley walking towards you. He's got the shotgun primed. He's looking around in all directions.
It's like, yeah, you do...
Easy there, Nimrod. Yeah, it won't do anything good here.
So, our two lovely ladies are currently having their doors knocked in. What are they doing?
Peaches is gonna look through the people to see who's there.
There is no one there. You just hear a banging coming up down the hall. You can gather where it is, but it seems to be... You also start to notice a dragging coming immediately behind it.
Cautiously open the door and look.
As you open the door, you see the circus and your two friends. And Peaches, your door is being broken in, and there is the familiar shape of Razorback in your doorway.
Do you mean Vivian?
Yeah, Vivian, sorry. Vivian's in the circus now, and Peaches now has Razor.
I thought Peaches was in the circus. You know.
Went to the circus.
Never mind.
So, I have Razorback at my door?
Yeah. Yes, Peaches has Razorback at her door, and Vivian has something shuffling behind her door.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry,
No, you're okay.
I thank my editors for making me appear less stupid.
You're all good.
Yeah.
Do you want to deal with your Razorback situation first, Peaches?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know, I'm confused now because I thought I was in the circus, so I'm lost. Peaches,
so your room is flooding with water, and there's something smashing through your door.
Right, and then I look through the people.
It's like, just scary pigman who appears to have a large butcher's cleaver and is going for the people at this point.
Then I run.
Yeah. Of course, being a nightmare, the water is slowing you down. And, you know, you get the standard running away, the hallway just gets longer and longer and longer and you can't seem to get away. You can feel that it's at your back, and at the climax of the chase, you emerge out into the circus. And now, what is Vivian doing about the invisible thing that appears to be moving up into her inner sanctum?
Let's see. Honestly, I think that she would be trying to barricade the door because her haven comes with a protection spell to keep monsters from entering my special little place. But I could see her trying to call.
What does this protective spell look like?
So the protection spell, according to the Haven, I had to pick a couple of different things for it.
No. What does the protection spell actually look like in your thing?
I would imagine that she probably just has runes carved into the trim of the door. And into the door itself. You wouldn't notice it because she probably has a poster over it, along the back of the door.
It sort of just fits into the decor of the door, I imagine. Sort of like a carving. Yeah. Of course, you look on up in horror and find the carvings have been scratched out.
Oh, fun.
And you hear that coming up the stairs.
I think that she would probably turn around and prepare to take a swing at it with her sword, her silver sword.
And as you swing and face your fear, you emerge into the circus where everyone is waiting for you.
Oh, hi guys.
Everyone have a pleasant dream. Pleasant dreams, I imagine.
You know what I gotta do, Lizard.
You're going to shoot him?
Yeah, I'm gonna shoot him.
Alistair's not gonna stop him either.
Yes, you disarray. From as you pull the trigger. It is a circus. Your shotgun is now a pop gun.
Oh, I was gonna say a giant cork, flowers sprouting out of the...
Yes, you literally just get a pop that of a cork going off. I thought my mic would pick it up, I'm sorry.
No, it did.
It did, we just sort of didn't realize what it was.
My, aren't you all jumpy? It's like, horse got your tongue? He smiles at your just confusion.
You know, there are less obtuse ways of getting our attention.
Ah, but that wouldn't be nearly as much fun on my part. Or fulfilling, for that matter.
I guess you have to spend your afterlife somehow entertaining yourself.
You're assuming I ever lived at all. Either way.
So this is our hell.
No, this is your reward for returning a certain leather-faced serial killer to my show. I thought I might as well warn you that the time has come for things deep and dark and wet to emerge. And you all get one question.
From which list? That was out of character.
Oh no, it's not. No, he just means like you all get a question that he will answer to the best of his ability. So anything you want from Demonic Dream Ringmaster, ask.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say Dream Daddy, and I was just like, no, not that game. Sorry. Demonic Dream Daddy. It's the new character.
God damn.
All right. That would be popular. I bet it would. If the internet has showed me anything, Demonic Dream Daddy.
It would be popular.
It would be like the daddy version of Helltaker.
It would be.
Well, yeah, I mean,
think about it. It would be the gender-bend version of Helltaker.
Yeah, it would.
Or it would just be a demonic version of Dream Daddy from Green Grumps.
It would be both.
Either or.
Sorry, I don't know.
I didn't
want
to take us down that path. My bad.
Look, this whole show is full of tangents. It's okay.
Alistair will speak up. He will go, I reserve the right to save this question for a later date.
Clever boy. You drop into the mud, like rapidly forming quicksand, and the dirt, mud, and other stuff just start to overwhelm you quickly. Next.
I'm assuming this is his way of waking us up, so I'm not going to freak out or panic.
Accept it.
It's like, yeah, you just sort of you just see Alistair just like crossing his arms and calmly sinking into the dirt.
So I have a question. Peaches steps forward and looks him in the eyes and says, what would it take for you to leave me alone?
He's just sort of like cocks his head. It's like, get out of the supernatural business?
She nods. Okay.
like, all right.
Yeah, like, just take a note of that.
And get out of business.
Razor back. And with that, you feel a familiar sharpness go straight through you. And Peaches falls dead on the floor, impaled by a metal spike. By the familiar form of Razorback, who is...
My lovely friend.
Slate, who is glaring at all of you with your standard demonic glare.
I think at that, Wesley would just run up and club him with the, well, useless shotgun.
Who?
The ringmaster?
Razorback. You guys just kind of see his eyes widen as he pales, as he runs on over, and he just kind of screams and runs over and hits him.
It's like, yeah, it just... It's like Razorback just takes it. You can tell he wants to hit... He wants to strike you back, but something is keeping him from doing that. And Vivian, what would you like? Your friend appears to be preoccupied.
Why us?
Because you were there.
Fair enough. Okay, so... Gotcha.
Trust me, there's a lot less meaning in the world than people like to think. Unfortunately, magic isn't nearly as new age as people would like to think as well. And with that, you feel yourself sinking into the dirt. And Vessel, what would you like to know?
I think after another couple whales, he's just breathing hard and he asks, where is the child?
Excellent. At the bottom of an abyss, on this side of things. But that won't be for long. And how did your ghost traditionally kill people in the game? In the game you made, or did it kill people at all?
If I remember correctly, it just kind of snuck up behind him and snapped his neck, kind of like a FNAF jump scare.
Yeah. Well, you hear a familiar sound bite and the snapping of your neck. And you all wake up in your apartments as you were.
Alistair will pick up his cell phone and text the group chat going, so we're on the job again, my dears. And yes, it annoys me as much as it annoys you. And then he sends the message. And then he grumpily gets up and goes to make himself some breakfast.
I assume you're all gathering at Deja Brew?
I think so.
That's where yes. Viv would be.
So, yes. Everyone arrives in a timely fashion. It's early enough in the morning that you haven't woken up. This is my hell. Yes, it is. I'm sorry, Tiffin. I'm sorry, Vivian.
It's okay.
I am so bad with names.
It's all good.
But yeah, so, unfortunately, for some odd reason, all the cups are upside down, just in the shop. I guess they're just all... No, they're all stacked into just pyramids. Just cup stacks.
I could see
like,
her
so
just
you just
like,
go down there.
Getting so irritated, just like, that comment. Why? Then trying to unstack it.
Yeah, it's not hard to unstack it. So you all walk in and just find her finishing unstacking the cups. All of you are in whatever state you'd like to be in. What's everyone look like?
Someone not me will go first this time.
Yeah, so Wesley Peaches?
Peaches spends quite a bit of time on her appearance, but it always looks effortless.
As is befitting a rom-com protagonist.
Exactly. So she walks in just looking, like, immaculate.
Show off.
So, like, her expression is tired, but, like, her makeup and hair and everything is on point.
I just rolled out of bed looking like I spent 8 hours in a makeup trailer.
I think...
I was born with it. Born with it.
Maybe it's Maybelline. I hate you. Stop it out of my head. My place. My domain. I'd imagine that Viv probably just has her hair pulled back in a bun and has her little beanie on that she likes to wear, has her glasses and just looks really tired. And is getting a nice large cup of coffee for herself while she's working on the others' drinks as usual.
I will say Alistair shuffles in, looking a little tired, but otherwise, his usual. He's got a nice pair of slacks, nice pair of shoes, a simple plain colored t-shirt with a short-sleeved button-up over that. He's got his hair back, and he's got the day's newspaper under his arm, probably left on his truck's passenger seat, as with the last mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Greetings, lovelies.
Hi.
I see you got about as much sleep as I do.
Yep. You're lovely, lovely little friend. likes to pay us visits at the worst times.
That he does. I'd apologize, but I have absolutely no control over him.
I know. It's not your fault.
Believe me, if it were my fault, you would at least get some rest, and it would definitely be a little bit more
pleasant. Snazzy
would be the word I choose. Pleasant works.
At that, Alistair, you could just feel anemone towards you at that last part.
He just kind of looks over his shoulder. I said what I said. Live with it.
I feel like Wesley would walk in on that.
You hear laughter coming from behind you. Just like a little kid's laughter. It is super creepy.
Did either of you hear that? He asks Peaches, Viv.
Well, the creepy kid laugh? Yeah.
Okay, good.
I've just gotten used to it.
As long as it isn't just me.
I feel like there's a door slam as Wesley comes in and he just lets it go and shut tight just to get everyone's attention. He has his trombone slung over his shoulder and he's not wearing his scarf. Which is something I don't know if Alistair or Peaches would... Actually, I guess the group would have seen it before. But basically the reason why all the art has a scarf on him is because there's bruises on his neck.
Ooh.
Like, it's a perpetual part of his haunting is that it always looks like someone has recently tried to choke him.
Ouch.
And he's just like, I had a dream about a kid. It's probably related.
Oh, good. Speaking of, do tell me you all didn't waste your questions.
Maybe ask why.
I don't consider mine a waste.
He chose us.
I mean, that may be a waste, that may not. It's just...
It was.
When something like that gives you the boon of any question asked free of any strings, that is something you save until you absolutely need an answer for something.
I don't trust your friend enough. Don't trust him enough to actually follow through.
If there's one thing you can trust about him, is that if he gives you that sort of boon, he will follow through.
Noted.
It's ancient law. And by ancient, I mean firmament of creation ancient.
Do not waste questions from Ringmaster. Wrote it down on my phone. Won't forget next time, Alistair. Got you.
Milton. He just kind of gives double thumbs up.
Say, built into unborn is what you hear whispered in your ear.
Whose ear was that whispered in?
Vivian.
Yeah.
And what did he whisper? Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
It's like, built into unborn.
Hmm.
Or never born. Blech.
Oh.
Built into never born.
Gotcha. Did anyone else hear that? Or just me?
Hear what?
Oh, cool. Just me. Mm-hmm. Think it's the Ringmaster
it happens.
Again? That's fine. Everything's fine.
So, I assume you were... Wesley will share his information about the...
Yeah,
stuff.
I think Wesley comes over and he takes his drink. And he takes a moment before he takes a hard chug and he goes... Yeah, the good news is we just have to kill a dead child.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, a dead child wants to kill us.
That just sounds like a regular Tuesday night. Just kidding, I'm sorry. I'm tired.
So, dream thrashing, child in chains, giant sinkhole. Well, I asked him something for once that wasn't sarcastic. Go me. Progress in my life.
I hope you asked about this vision you had, otherwise your question might have been a waste.
I thought we had to save the child, so I asked the circus master where he is, and the good news is he's in the abyss, and they're gonna drag us all there, is what he said.
I'm going to drag you all there, or the child that you saw in your vision is going to drag us all there?
My understanding is the child, I thought it was part of some ritual that was going to cause this all to happen, but apparently the ritual has already gone off. He motions out to the street. I think it's something that's already happened. It may be what's causing all the rain that we're starting to get right now, you know? Something like that. I mean, he did have us sink into the mud.
That would explain my part of the dream. He's lucky that my dear old friend is very lucky that the damage was merely dream world. I would have tracked him down and sent him a very large cleaning bill otherwise. But honestly, your vision sounds like this child is trapped. Like, imprisoned.
Possibly. That's a very possible answer.
The part I hate most, my dears, is the fact that we're just sitting here wondering when we're going to be dragged into this. Granted, not kicking and screaming because we are expecting it, but at the same time, it's making me itchy, the anticipation.
I think Wesley takes out a notebook and starts flipping through it, because after all that bullshit, he decided to remember, write down what he remembered. So good news, we have till dawn. It happened at dawn in the dream.
Okay.
Okay.
How many? The next dawn? Next week? Next month? You said it might have already happened, which is, we're dealing with the fallout of that.
Wesley just kind of gives an old man shrug, and then he goes back to drinking.
Alistair joins him, sipping thoughtfully.
Whoa, there were ruins on the chain, if that helps.
Ruins?
You wouldn't happen to be able to replicate these ruins, would you?
I don't know, Keeper. Could I?
You'll need to roll sharp.
Right, I will roll sharp. This is going to be a...
If we can get a serviceable representation of the etchings in those chains, perhaps then we can find out what culture we're dealing with.
Well, I have 0 sharp. I rolled a 4.
So the answer's no.
And a 6.
Oh, hey!
Oh, very good.
That works wonderfully. Yes, okay, so... Yeah, so it doesn't take you long, but... You managed to actually get... The runes are very intricate. You saw a lot of, like, winding, rope-like patterns on them, but there are also some similar ones. Likely after a bit of comparing and contrasting for various runes, you managed to identify that these are Celtic in origin. And you managed to recognize that one of them means water. At least, that seems to be the rune that comes up the most from what you've depicted. So, you have Celtic runes and water and all that stuff now. Alistair, you also had the newspaper, didn't you?
I did.
Well, newspapers always have good information. I love this trope.
Excellent.
So, you're allowed to roll sharp.
Okay. That would be a 9.
All right. You get the standard investigative mystery questions to choose from.
Excellent.
And I think you get 1. And
I don't have my book up.
Well, you do that. Vivian and Peaches, you have Celtic as a investigative lead.
Okay. Can I roll investigate a mystery and, like, do Google search over, like, Celtic water demons?
Yes. And Peaches? Does Peaches have anything to do?
You said there were, like, Celtic runes and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And no one else is investigating that right now, right?
Yeah. The runes themselves aren't being investigated.
I'm looking for monster-based stuff.
Okay,
Celtic.
So you want to look for...
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, if you want to look for some other aspect of Celtic.
Yeah, see if I can try to get, like, a approximate translation of these runes.
I got an 11 for investigative mystery.
Okay. You managed to note that one of the most notable, there are a few creatures, but one malevolent one is known as a Kelpie. That it appears to be often takes the form of the horse, but has taken the form of others. And it will,
Kelpie.
That's kind of what I was thinking, but I didn't want to say it.
Hey, it's okay.
That's better than what I was thinking.
I mean, what were you thinking?
What was I thinking?
Yeah.
Your name references the color blue, and we're talking about a person chained in an abyss. My first thought was actually Loki.
I can actually see how that would work. Yeah, you also get Loki and, you know, other various Viking myths. Some Viking myths seem to have other creatures, your serpents and...
I mean, Viking isn't Celtic, it's completely different, but, you know.
Yeah. Sorry, my bad. But yeah, I am making note of this for improvised things later.
At a
what to avoid, terrible. Because Eric was a jackass.
So, yeah, and so Peaches, have you rolled for your translation?
Not yet. One moment.
All right, so I have the investigative mystery questions. It sounds like someone already asked what sort of creature is it.
Yeah, so...
What is it going to do?
You flip through various things, and two things catch your eye. The weather for today mentions no rain at all, but it's currently pouring outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, well, and then I you mean, also...
To be fair, that it's the weather.
You also notice a missing child, last known location near the Ashwood Abbey Pond.
And here we go. I found our direction, dears.
Rolls? Hold on, I think I'm waiting on one roll.
Yes, I still need to do my thing.
Yes, just checking.
Oh no. What's my sharp? Oh, my sharp is plus two. That's a 7.
Yes.
7.
That was very close to being a failure.
You get it. You get to ask from the investigative mystery questions.
Okay. With the runes, I'm going to say, what is being concealed here?
You notice bind, prisoner, heretic. Those appear to be, you seem to get some runes for basic or enemy might be the other thing. But that's the rough, what you get out of some of the symbols noted. The rest appear to be misremembered or gibberish.
Okay.
So, I just noticed that because I rolled an 11, I actually get two questions. Can I ask one more question about the Kelpie?
Yes.
What can it do through my Google search?
Drown. It has shape-changing capabilities, but its most notable feature is that it has an adhesive body. Making contact with it is not a good idea, because it is well known to charge off into the water to stick itself to unsuspecting riders or those it is lured in, and to charge straight into the water and drown them.
Okay.
Yeah, not a fun way to go.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
This game is so hard to play when you know so much. Myth and legend.
Hey, it's a good... I mean, no, that's just background knowledge on you guys.
Yep.
For you guys to help you guys infer and figure out what I'm using. It's all about figuring out what I'm using and not about necessarily not finding out everything there is to know about the mythological implications of all this.
That is true, because this is your version of the monster, so...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we want to take a look at Ashwood Abbey Pond?
Yeah.
It sounds like a plan to me.
All right. Are we carpooling this time?
Well, I mean, my truck is ever-present, and it is the dual cab, so we can all fit.
Do we want to have two vehicles just in case, or do we just all want to go in one? Just
I
in
leave
case
that
something
up to you,
happens.
All.
Is everyone present?
I would say that Leslie suggests bringing his car as a backup as it's gone through the ringer and,
Ringer.
When things happen around you, like me, well, let's just say it has been through, I have been through, and he starts counting on his fingers, 5 supernaturally induced accidents, and yet I still haven't had to take it to the shop.
Impressive.
All right.
Very impressive.
It may be running on my suffering alone.
That is
in our line of business, more than likely.
What kind of gas does your car take? Oh, misery? Mine too.
At least it's environmentally friendly. Actually, right?
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I feel like that I have to make that canon at this point. If Wesley ever sorts out his life, that car is just going to fall apart in a fucking wreck.
I feel like there's a moment where Wesley's thinking for a moment, he's like, wait, gas. He starts counting on his fingers again.
It's like, Wesley is just like, no, I sort of imagine like...
Alistair would just kind of just put his hand over Wesley's as he's counting and just like, don't. You'll just hurt yourself. Just accept it and move on. You'll live a lot longer.
I kind of imagine Wesley just like fully in health and out of gas, and then like arrives, starts bleeding all over the front seat and wheel, and then it just gets full from just the pain. But yeah,
so it runs on capitalism and retail workers. Okay.
That too. But yeah, Rackham, you were going to say something?
I would say, as you do that, he's managed to go and count through both of his hands, trying to figure out when it's been gassed up last.
As for how often he's gone for to fill
it? How many days he's gone without having to fill it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that is good. And he drives it every day. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he doesn't remember the last time he filled it up since this ghost got on his back.
Yeah. So the Ashwood Abbey Pond, it's actually in a nearby park that also has a historical society, which might be useful, and records, of course. So upon arriving, you have a few leads. You have a few places you could try and go.
Okay.
I think that we should take the historical society, Alistair.
Okay.
So you can charm them.
It seems to be my way of doing things.
And I might be able to sneak around and look around at things, see what I can find out while you distract them.
That sounds like a plan, my dear. And Alistair will look at Peaches and Wesley's like, will you two be okay looking at the lake?
Yeah, that sounds like a great place for us to look.
Towards the monster. Be a prudent idea to get the literal lay of the land so we can perhaps track and even trap this beast.
Did anyone bring life jackets? Is that something we should have considered?
My dear, I can shapeshift and fly away. I don't need a life jacket.
I'll roll for it later. Let's continue.
Don't you have a preparedness thing?
I do. That's why I said I'll roll for it later. Yeah. Don't worry. If I fail it, I'm just going to have like little toddler floaties in my bag. It'll be great. All will be fine. Everything's gonna be okay.
Wesley just pats his trombone case and says, I got the lead to take out a horse. It's simple. I just gotta shoot the legs. Simple as that. It's like any other creature, even a big man. Shoot at the leg.
Here's a fun little fact.
Oh boy. Hit me.
Those aren't legs on a horse. Those are actually its hand bones.
Yes.
It's
yes,
running.
They are.
It's basically running on its middle finger. That's what the hoof is.
Oh boy.
And this is Alistair telling Wesley this just to creep him out.
Goddamn.
He says in a exasperated voice. So I can make sure that it never flipped me off ever again. Got it.
Well, to be honest, if this creature is what we think it is a meat-eating demon horse of a aquatic variety. So, yeah. Have fun! And he pats Wesley's back and walks off with Viv.
Alright. So, I have things for either group. who would like to start?
I will say, as they walk away, he takes a moment to look over at Peaches and says, you ever get the feeling that they're expecting us to go do something else on our own?
Something else like what?
I don't know.
And that's where the scene goes black.
No. Wesley looks at the camera like Jim on The Office, and then the scene ends.
But no, I think to be fair, we like maybe roll dice or flip a coin or something to see who goes first.
Someone call heads.
Heads.
Cool, it's tails.
Okay.
So that's Peaches and Wesley checking out the lake. So as you step your way down, you smell salt. There are various things are off about this lake. Something about maybe the way that the light catches it, nearby prints, or maybe it's the old man currently wading into it with heavy wool clothing.
Wait.
I just have a funny thing to help set the scene before that.
Oh god.
So Peaches definitely doesn't see the old man wading into it with heavy wool clothing. Peaches notices the light catching on the lake in a certain way and says to Wesley, you know, if there wasn't probably a monster here, this would be a really romantic spot.
There's just this splashing, just yeah.
Probably
I'm just saying, very
old man, yeah. Old man cussing.
Dungeons & Pop is a tabletop variety show. The campaign you are listening to is a ongoing one-shot reoccurring characters campaign using the Monster of the Week system.